November 5, 2020, this is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living the better life means joining others in some betting conversation, and I was on a podcast twice this week just doing that, so that way everybody could listen to one of those conversations. I mean, I have plenty of those conversations on my podcast here, of course, but I joined Bradley and Russ over at the Pre-Snap Picks podcast. Find that everywhere podcasts are available. I did a little guessing line show with them on Sunday. And then another episode, on Tuesday, where we talked about games we liked and different approaches to the week's betting in the NFL. So if you like NFL betting, check that out. It was a fun conversation, and it sounds like I didn't screw it up because they have invited me to come back for another guessing line show at some point in the future. So I do look forward to collaborating with them more down the road. A lot of people bet on the election. I didn't really want to talk about it too much here, but it was a thing. And boy, was that a fascinating live line to watch. Going into the first polls closing, Biden minus 210 is what I saw at the book that I was watching. And it got all the way, I think he got down as low as minus 250 before as polls started closing in and a lot of day of election voting was happening. It swung far the other direction where Trump was minus 300, minus 400, minus 500 at some point overnight. And then as ballots kept on getting counted, it swung way back the other side. Only reason I'm bringing it up, apolitically speaking, if you were patient and if you listened to some of the people who anticipated this and you had the opportunity to live bet that, the opportunity for arbitrage on those lines, you could scalp a nice profit off those money lines. Now, who knows if that opportunity will come again, because one of the reasons why that opportunity was there was because mail-in ballots had to wait, right? And so that really, it really swung, you know, from one side to the other. Who knows in 2024 or beyond what that looks like. But will we ever be able to bet on the election in the United States or in Nevada, stuff like that? Who knows? Probably not. For those of you that have opportunities in faraway places, yeah, it's fun. 2022 will be the next opportunity with midterm elections. So whether or not if you bet on the election, whether or not your vote, the person you voted won, hopefully at least the bets you got down on cash for you. This is going to be the last episode of its kind. This is a Travel Better episode, as the title dictates. Adam and I are going to be talking about Washington, D.C. and travel and gambling in this area. I have decided to move this conversation, instead of being a regular podcast episode, to an ad hoc. I have a prop bet on Jerron McKinnon under rushing yards, and so I had to pause there to watch it as he got the ball, like see if he'd get tackled. That's living a better life, right? I'm recording my monologue and also sort of watching the game to see how my prop bet's doing. We're gonna do an ad hoc Instagram live collaboration moving forward. The decision essentially comes from my reducing confidence that we're going to be able to do this on a regular basis in the way that I sort of saw ahead of time. I had a macro idea and moved forward on it and have failed to really find the micro points that I think make it a strong idea. And for that reason, taking it out of the podcast rotation. But a lot of you said that you really enjoyed listening to Adam and I have a conversation. So moving that then to an ad hoc conversation with the same themes. So we're going to do this again at the beginning of December. Adam and I will collaborate again and talk about Detroit, which is a city that, unlike the area he lives in now, is a city that Adam can actually speak to quite a bit. So I'm actually looking forward to that, because Detroit's a city that I've never been to that I do look forward to visiting at some point. Okay. I'll talk about Better Santa, which went into the store today after the interview. Here's my discussion with Adam Bauer talking about Washington, D.C. All right, Adam Bauer, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm well. And, you know, I mentioned this before we hit record. I think I can say it here. I think everybody, no matter where you are on this spectrum, can resonate with this. I hope this is resolved before Thanksgiving, because it's going to make a family dinner for so many people already awkward because it's an election year, but even more awkward if we don't know what the situation is. So, you know, thoughts and prayers for the country.
Yes, definitely T's and P's to everybody out there.
Yes. How are you otherwise? Like, I know it's kind of a stressful week for everybody, but it's been a month since we've last spoken to you. Anything cool in your life?
No, literally nothing has changed since the last time, which I think is probably the same for everybody. But yeah, election True. Week's upon us. I always take the day after off to just not do anything.
11:30 p.m. on Tuesday, I submitted sick leave for the next morning. I was like, there's no way I'm functional in the morning.
I took it off, and like, we always like plan our general days like a quarter in advance. I'm like, oh, I'm taking this day off. I always take the day after the Super Bowl off too, for similar but different reasons. So it's been good. Work's good. Been good, and yeah, can't complain.
Very good. Well, as I mentioned to the audience in my monologue preceding our conversation, this will be the second and the last time that we have this type of conversation in podcast form. Mm-hmm. Hoping to continue this in through Instagram Live, but I wanted to, since we sort of teased this episode, and I wanted to complete this thought as a provide a little bit more context or more material for me to understand this, because I think there is something here for this discussion, maybe a different way to approach it. But I want to start with, we'll start on the travel heavy side. Let's get to a discussion that you're far more capable. I say far more, you're the only one capable in this conversation to have it. I definitely can't talk about
it. Very low bar.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, a few times a year, I hear other travel experts talk about credit card inventory, right? Looking at your credit cards, looking at what you have, what do you want to keep, stuff like that. For a newbie like me, who, you know, I have the same few credit cards I've had for years, the idea of adding one, even if it has value, still seems kind of mundane to me. What are a few things, like, what does that first mean, and what are you trying to accomplish in sort of going through that credit card inventory as it pertains to travel?
Well, I think for, like, you and me might be a little bit different in the approach. And I think for a lot of people that write and live in this scene kind of perpetually and are always thinking about, like, these travel, you know, credit cards rewards, excuse me if you're my dog whining in the background, is that I'm typically looking at what cards can I get rid of potentially, instead of what cards can I be adding? Because I'm always just kind of thinking about what's the next thing in the next quarter that I might be potentially looking at. Yeah. So for me, or if you think you have too many, or especially right now, if you know that your travel is going to be limited for the next few quarters, maybe the next year, it's about looking at all your credit cards. Do you have some that have annual fees? Those are the ones that I'm typically looking at that I'm just not getting the value out of right now, or I'm not going to get the value out of, in the future. For instance, I just canceled my Amex Platinum card a few quarters ago. It's an expensive card. It's like $550 a year. I had it for a couple reasons. One mainly was the access to their luxury hotel collection, which I saw as a big value, especially because I was going to Vegas. Couple that with their really good Platinum lounges that you can get into, the Centurion lounges, excuse me. But my traveling's died down. I'm not going to Vegas as much as I want to. The $550 fee is steep. So that was one where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to cut that for now. I can, of course, get that card back if I want to. Likely wouldn't be able to get the sign-on bonus again, but okay, whatever. I got it once already. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I would say one thing to keep in mind if you are thinking about closing cards is to make sure that your points aren't going to be just disappearing. This is more of a risk if you just have like a general bank card that's building up general travel points with, like, say, Chase or Amex or something like that. Typically, if you're getting like one of those more co-branded cards, like say a Southwest card or whatever, you're earning points every statement period through Southwest, Marriott, whatever, Hyatt. And those are being kind of deposited into those specific accounts, your Rapid Rewards account, your Hyatt account, whatever. So if you cancel the card, you're still going to remain on, you know, those points will remain in your account. It's not necessarily the case for all, like say you have a bank card that's building up Chase membership reward points. If you have one card has got membership reward points, the likelihood is that those points will disappear if you just cancel that card. But there are strategies to say, downgrade the card, get a different Chase card, different Amex card, where you can, you know, move those points if you cancel a card that has a fee on it or something like that. So, I mean, you can reach out to me, any blogger in the scene, we can kind of help guide you through some of those things. But I think for some people too, to your point, as you kind of led in with the question, it's also a good time of, as travel ramps up, where are you going? What are you thinking about doing? Are there any good bonuses out there right now that you can take advantage of? I think last time we talked maybe about a couple Wyndham cards that had popped up as maybe good opportunities if you're a gambler. So just kind of, you know, taking a pulse of the scene every quarter or so, or every couple quarters to see, okay, am I missing out on something? Is there a card that's going to do a little bit more heavy lifting than some of the ones that are in my wallet right now for maybe a similar price point?
So you brought up, you mentioned lounges, and this is something that I always find, like, probably not going to surprise anybody, I don't really pursue lounges in any sort of way, like at the airport or any, like there's that to me, I have never found myself walking past a lounge thinking, boy, I need to get myself lined up to be a part of that. But I do know that a lot of people, both in the travel space and in the gambling space, of people who travel a lot for gambling opportunities, do enjoy these lounges. What do you put in the value on that? Like, what are you getting out of a lounge to, I guess here's a better question. For those of us who have never been in one of these lounges, what is the experience? What are the resources? What is the value that is had in a lounge that might interest us?
Sure. Well, let me answer a different question, then I'll get into that, because I think it's important, because I talked about like annual credit card fees and stuff. I don't put like the value of a lounge, I have not calculated for myself to kind of see if that offsets part of the annual fee. There are a couple of reasons for that. One, I'm just lazy and I don't want to do that. And that's typically, that's not a value proposition that I'm including in a lot of my calculations because it's so sporadic and I can't count on it, you know, very accurately, if you will. And two, in terms of like the lounge experience, I would say that, or in terms of the calculation, excuse me, I'm kind of jumping around, but like, it's hard for me to calculate too, based on my location, flying out of O'Hare, flying out of Chicago. I don't have a lot of lounges available to me. I don't really think I have any in domestic terminals at O'Hare. So it's actually very, very rare for me to be able to kind of capture that value when I'm departing from home. I will, you know, occasionally be able to access them when I'm coming back from a destination, say like Las Vegas has a Centurion Lounge, Philadelphia has a Centurion Lounge, you know, going out to Atlantic City or something like that. So that can be nice. In terms of what a lounge offers, if you're like a number of dads in America who likes to get to an airport 18 hours early or like the month before, and it's available to you, it can be a really, really nice perk where, you know, you're not out with the masses. We've all been in the airport. It's just been, I don't know about you, but like I get to an airport and I'm just sweating the entire time. Like I hate being in the airport. I hate being out with the masses and I can never feel comfortable. You can occasionally find a really nice, comfortable place to sit down, have a free meal, have a couple free drinks, and just kind of generally relax before your flight, which is really, really nice. When I lived in Detroit, they had some really nice lounges in their airport. Really underrated airport is Detroit too. But I mean, to me, that's what it is. Depending on the lounge, at least before, the rules have changed for a lot. I actually liked it flying into Vegas. It used to be that you could access the lounge even when you were arriving. And so it was a nice place to just, once I got to Vegas.
Oh, interesting.
And, you know, I could, if I was checking a bag, okay, I'll go into the lounge for a second, grab a bite to eat, maybe a quick drink, and then go down and grab my bag and not feel like I'm kind of in a rush. Or if I knew I wanted to put my bag in, hit the tables or do whatever, I didn't have to stop and get food anywhere or something like that.
So that's the reason why I brought it up, is because I've heard it most often brought up in this community because people enjoy going to a lounge when they land at LAS and mm-hmm. Is it, do you, am I the only, like, I always refer to airports as just their code, their three letter code.
I'm the opposite.
What do you call them?
I just say the city name. I don't even care, which gets a lot of people upset in the scene because I just don't care. Like Southwest, official like stock ticker name, or whatever is not, SW, right? But I'll purposely like just say it wrong just to annoy people.
I think it was funny is for people who like to get to the airport early. It makes perfect sense now why I have no interest in lounges, because I would never have time to go into one.
Right.
I mean, there was a time of my life when I was traveling quite a bit where I could get it timed pretty easily to where I'm walking on the plane as I get to my
gate. Oh, I can't do that.
And not even a couple times in a hurry, but even like usually, look, it causes some anxiety because you hit the security line and realize, oh snap, this isn't moving as quickly as it should be or as it usually mm-hmm. is. But I've definitely, I mean, I'm a little better about it now, about being a little bit earlier because, I've just found ways to not like I'm trying to like maximize my time, right? That's really where it came from, is I want to maximize my time regardless of where I'm at. And I just found it, I could do more with 20 more minutes at home than I could with 20 minutes at the gate. Right. And so, right. I would always push the envelope, and I always am not confident. I'm confident that I've packed more than I need, but I've definitely missed something that I need.
Yeah.
And I'm never confident that I am going to get to my plane on time, but yet I always do. There was only one time, I think I was flying Virgin, and they called that, like, I got a phone call asking like, hey, we're boarding. Are you like, where are you?
God.
And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I was in, I don't remember what airport I was in. I was in the train system of getting to mm-hmm. my, but yeah, that's,
if I think I'm going to be late for 1 minute, I can't stand it. So that's, I usually get there pretty early, but I mean, it also depends on where you're at too. And these perks, lounge access perk is kind of ubiquitous now among kind of some of the major travel credit cards, at least some of the more premium cards, like $100 and up annual fee. Many of them are offering something like this. So it can actually, there can be waits to get into some of these lounges. They do get quite busy. And honestly, some of the lounges are kind of overrated. They're not kept up as well. It's not like their offerings are great. So it's how much do you value, a lukewarm quesadilla? Well, to me, it's not very high. So really, than where you're going. For like Vegas, to me, it's worth it. I think it's a pretty nice lounge. And so, yeah, if you're going a few times a year, it can definitely be worth it. But a lot of them are putting the kibosh on. If you arrive, you can get access. Now it's, for many of them, it's just, you've got to have a ticket to depart.
Yeah. Is there any more agonizing wait than waiting for your luggage at, in Las Vegas?
No, I mean, and that's why I tend to now I never check a bag in Las Vegas anymore. I mean, it's a very rare occasion. I think we were going out to like a Zork Fest just because I had some random crap that I had to lug in just for that. But other than that, no, I don't want to. I'm not waiting around there.
Yeah. I've booked a trip to Vegas. It has happened. I gave in to the FOMO. I gave in to... I'll be staying at Bellagio. I'm not going to talk about dates yet. And I'm not going to talk about where, like what I might be doing, cause it's going to be a low contact trip. Mm-hmm. But MGM comps, unless you're working with a host, you still have to pay the resort fee, right?
Right.
Only having to pay the resort fee for a fountain view room at Bellagio is the cheapest a low roller like me will ever get to stay at the Bellagio.
Right.
I will never get a deal like this, based on my play or anything like that ever again. So, I of course reserve the right, 2 weeks before to be like, nope, doesn't feel right. But At the moment, I feel good about it. And look, there's a good chance I spend half my time in my room, right, sitting on a sports betting app and just betting there, right?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but, and what'll probably be, I don't know why I made this analogy earlier in my head, So when I first bought my motorcycle, and trust me, I get somewhere on this. When I first bought my motorcycle, my first motorcycle back when I was 19, I didn't even know how to ride a motorcycle yet. I bought it and they delivered it to where I was living. And that's like, and I had property where I was living where I could like sort of like practice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I finally felt comfortable enough and I took it on the road and I went out like a mile and I came right back. And like, I felt this adrenaline rush. I was like, I mean, max went 30 miles an hour, right? But I was like, yes, that felt awesome. And then by the end of the day, I finally hit a highway. And when I hit 50 miles an hour on the highway for the first time on a motorcycle, I felt free as a bird, right? Like what you think people on Harleys feel when they're cruising. Like I felt that. I was like, this is amazing. I think that's going to be me in Las Vegas. I'm going to go down, walk like into the casino, walk right back and go back up to my room. Like, okay, that worked. I feel okay. Let me go do something else. And I'm going to go, I might play a hand of blackjack and run right back to my room. Be like, okay, sure. All right. That worked. So we'll see. I think, look, regardless where we are, I think protocols are only going to get, maybe not better, but more well-adjusted. And that's where I feel safer, right? I think mm-hmm. that it's no longer, let's just see what we have to do and how. I think we're figuring out what works, what doesn't, what's important, what's not. And I think it's because we're more accustomed to it, I think it's easier to remind patrons that they have to do it, right? So that's where a lot of my confidence is coming from on feeling comfortable on making that trip. So there's a good chance that I do that. Okay. What about traveling otherwise? Is there any travel on your horizon for any reason? Has anything come about? I don't know about you, but it's different on based on where you are in the country. It's based, yeah. You know, it's very different based on, where you're likely to go, right? So like I'm likely to go because of where my family lives and stuff like that. I'm likely to go to low risk areas. So I feel mm-hmm. a little more comfortable with doing that already anyways, right? You know, if you usually travel to, I don't know, like, Texas, you know, like there's going to be there's parts this year you were like, nope. So, you know, has anything changed in the past month in either direction in any way, not just on travel, but sort of on your comfort level on moving about the country?
Comfort level hasn't really changed, not like better or worse or anything like that. I think by and large, and this kind of speaks to what you were talking about earlier, is that I think kind of it's like an unexpected normalcy has set in for a lot of places where a lot of businesses, airlines, hotels included, have just kind of, they figured out what works and trying to make that process efficient and safe. And so we're starting to plan a little bit and just kind of be thinking about the future. We're probably going to get one of these like nice Chicago suite stays in before the end of the year just to do that.
By the way, if you want to learn about some cool things you can do in Chicago, don't listen to the last episode that you and I did together.
I was thinking about that and I'm like, I'm so disappointed in myself. Let me, in terms of like places to eat, I didn't say where I work. So I work in the West Loop where I did. I'm working at home now. And then it has like several Michelin star restaurants. But I'm like, I can't just say like where I work and like what's right outside my office. But
yeah.
It is. If you're interested in going to Chicago, you want to eat some good food. The West Loop is not really kind of tourist tainted or anything like that. So if you wanted to, you know, break the mold of a typical tourist place, go to the West Loop. Anyway, yeah. So that, and then I think you're right. I mean, for us, it's where are family at? Where do we have places that we know that we can kind of control a little bit more? My in-laws have a place in Sarasota, so it's okay. Maybe we go down to Florida for, a long weekend or something like that and stay down there because they're pretty close to the beach. And so those kinds of things, which I think is pretty standard for a lot of people. But we're getting the itch like everybody else is. And
This is gonna be a little contrary to maybe how I was speaking about the future earlier this year, but there were so many more uncertainties earlier this year, right? I think there's, mm-hmm. I think we feel, and not that we feel certain about things, but I think we're at least used to the situation. I think part of, like, if this is gonna be a reality for a while, part of functioning as a society while dealing with it is people who will obey protocols to start participating in these activities again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And looking at it from that angle, the things that I was worried about risk wise have lowered a little bit for me based on like who I interact with and stuff like that. Like my new I'm no longer employed in a situation where I'm required to go into an office. I'm not engaging as much with high risk people on a regular basis. And I feel comfortable in, like, I am willing to obey all protocols, and I'm comfortable that the way that I get to and from places and the places that I go are also going to enforce those protocols. Right. So, right. Looking at it through that lens, I would say that I have, there's a much bigger gap between how I was speaking about the situation even 4 or 5 months ago and where I am now. Of course, all of that comfort level is dependent on people on these protocols being held, right? Like I'm not going to a super spreader event, but right. Okay. I mean, even on the plane, right? With like when you're like with a seat between you and someone else, like you look at the person across the aisle and you're like, I don't know if you're far enough, dude. I don't think
I didn't like that pre-COVID. I don't like now. It's, yeah. You know, I don't like people next to me at all ever. So it's not new to me.
On my way back, the last trip that I took, on my way back, I ended up getting an exit row to myself.
Yeah, that's poor man's first class.
Yeah, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Poor man's first class. Thank you. Okay, let's talk about my place of, what do I want to call it?
Living?
My place of living. I mean, it's my home now, right? I've lived here long enough where I call it home. Mm-hmm. Just a few years ago, I had finally hit a point where the DC area became a place where I lived in the longest since leaving home at 18, right? So like I before then 18 months was the most that I'd ever spent in one location. And so I finally had, after just a few years here, this became home. And it is growing as a sort of a place of gambling. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons, part of the reasons why I wanted to make sure that this episode, we still did this one in the podcast series, is I think that this actually lends itself to quite a bit of discussion and things to talk about as it pertains to DC and gambling. Have you ever been to Washington, DC?
Yes. So I will say that traveling in my adult life, I've gotten chills twice that I can remember. One was when I stepped into the Coliseum. Wow. If you've ever been to the Coliseum, like you kind of walk up a little bit, there's like a little channel and it's like a concourse of like any major stadium we've been to in the last few years. And then it opens up into the arena and that's kind of how they guide you in. It was unbelievable. What a sight. And the second was at the, it was like, kind of the sun was setting, it was dusk, it was in the fall, so it was a cool time to go, but it was at the Korean War Memorial, which is what an amazingly beautiful, haunting installation that's over there.
The most underrated war memorial in DC is the Korean War Memorial. Yes. Okay, we'll touch on some touristy stuff here in a bit. I know people are like, all right, this is a gambling show, where's some game? All right, let's get to it. Let's get to it. Okay. If you come into the Washington, D.C. area, if you are in D.C. proper, it means you are inside the District of Columbia, where 600,000 people live and pay taxes without representation in Congress, you cannot find a casino inside that district, right? There's no casinos in the little district. You can bet on sports, technically. Mm-hmm. Gambit DC is run by the DC Lottery. The lines are trash. Keep in touch with your local bookie when you travel to DC, because you're not going to want to bet on sports inside the District of Columbia. But the caveat off that is, inside that legislation, it did allow for brick and mortar sports books to be built in taverns or sports arenas. And one of those places includes Capital One Arena, where the Wizards, the Wizards and the Capitals play. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is coming. When that becomes a reality, there is a more opportunity, but I can tell you, I mean, who's going to want to stand in line at a damn sports book when you paid all that money for Capitals tickets? You know what I mean? Like stuff right. like that kind of, you know, make your bets before the game, whatever you can make, whatever case that you can get around that. But I think it's cool that there's going to be sports books in arenas. I also think that it's not going to be as cool for that reason of like, you'll have spent, you know, $100 on some Capitals tickets. And it's like, well, here I am trying to get down a second hand. Oh, the second half started. I couldn't get my bet down anyways. And here I am missing the game.
Let's get a damn pretzel or something then.
Exactly. Now, just outside of DC is MGM National Harbor, which I talk about here on the podcast all the time. It is literally 10 minutes down the road from where I live. And it is the closest casino to the District of Columbia. It is a very expensive casino to play in, right? Mm-hmm. I beat this horse to death. And it is only, it's even. Even more so now with COVID and the requirements, it is, I think the last time I went in there, Adam, there was one $25 craps table and the rest were 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Mike can be there all day, but a lot of people are going to be missing out.
It is a beautiful property. Mm-hmm. There is some good restaurants in there. I recommend if you're comfortable with going to a casino and not gambling, mm-hmm. it's a cool casino to walk around. It's a beautiful property. It smells nice, right? It's got that MGM perfume. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I think we all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, like absolutely.
MGM properties have like that smell to them.
Love Mandalay Bay smell.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually have a candle. I bought a candle set that mimics the smell from Aria.
Okay.
And yeah. I think it's from Aroma something. I can't remember the brand. I'll have to check the brand. But when I first got it, right, I open the candle, I smell it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I can kind of see that. Then I light it, and I was sort of like, when you're in the same room as a candle, you barely smell it. But when you leave and then come back, you really smell it.
Okay.
Adam, when I walked back into this room, I had a flashback to Aria. It was it was that convincing. Like mm-hmm. That might be my favorite candle now, because now I can just if I can't make it to the casino, I'll just light a candle, leave the room, and then come back every once in a while. Yeah.
That's what I do. I go in the bathroom, light a cigarette, and I'm like, I'm right at El Cortez. Like it just takes me home. So
I don't know. Total aside here. I don't know if you listened to my last episode with Melanie.
She's awesome. Yeah, I love Melanie so much.
That was a great episode. We had that conversation about properties downtown, maybe, you know, like who's on the chopping block next? And I made the case that Fremont, just based on the fact that it lacks culture, mm-hmm. It's not a nice property, and it's also not like, it doesn't have like this low roller cult culture to it either. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Do you think that's true, or am I missing something about the Fremont?
About Fremont, the casino specifically?
The casino specifically.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point, and yeah, I mean, I agree with it. It's tough. I think the saddest one for me is Binion's, to be completely honest. Like I thought that was always going to be like this steadfast, great property, great gaming, treating players well. And it's really gone downhill. And I've heard more horror stories, if you want to call them that, that's in quotes, of just overall blandness about Binion's than Fremont. So I would say maybe one of the two. I mean, it is kind of disappointing that some of the changes that you've seen.
Okay.
Especially with those two properties.
Yeah. All right. Hard left back into the original conversation. Can you enjoy just walking around a casino?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's,
I mean, there's times where even if I'm on a trip and I want to gamble or know I'm going to gamble, but I'm just not in the mood at that time, I still like being there and just kind of, and I think for some people that might like weird them out, I feel bad about it. Not that it weirds out Mark and Dr. Mike or anything like that, but I remember going, that was my last trip to Vegas, and they were playing craps at Caesars. I just didn't feel like playing at the time, but I went and hung out and just like watched them play for a bit. You know, everyone just kind of chill and talk and have a good time. And I enjoyed that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite places to be, gambling or not.
Yeah. So MGM National Harbor, closest casino in DC. Then just like 45 minutes to an hour down the road, we have Baltimore, which has Maryland Live and Horseshoe Baltimore right there. Maryland Live being, you know, its own thing. And then Baltimore, or Horseshoe Baltimore, of course, being inside the Caesars Network. And then if you go about an hour and 20 minutes outside of the city, which is probably a little too far for most travelers, unless you have a car and you're really, really desperate to do this, Charlestown, Hollywood at Charlestown is about an hour, 20 minutes away. That's across the West Virginia border. It might be the best bang for your buck limits wise out of all of those options on a weekend, but I think even during the week, I think Horseshoe Baltimore is probably just as good. So if you're in the area and you're desperate to get a to hit a table, if it's the weekend and you really want to try to, if you want to travel for lower limits, that might be your option. Of course, that is pre-COVID. I have not been to any of those properties right. post-COVID, so I don't know the realities there. So take that for what it is. There is currently no sports betting inside of the state of Maryland or the state of Virginia, the two states that border DC, but it is technically legal here. So Virginia earlier this year passed legislation to legalize sports betting. Maryland on 2 days ago on election day legalized sports betting inside their state. So it's coming. Maryland, that's probably going to mean sports books inside the casinos, which MGM National Harbor, for anybody who's been there, the second floor at MGM National Harbor is where the poker room is. There's a race book there, and there's a lot of like slots and some video poker up there. You can tell it was made in preparation for sports betting. Like it's so clear that it was made in anticipation that they're eventually going to get a sports book there. And I think it's 2021 might be when it can finally put that to use. I think it kind of covers basic gambling and sports betting in the area. It'll be interesting to see if Maryland and Virginia legalize, well, they have, when they finally have sports betting operating, if they have mobile betting with decent odds, I mean, they could run the DC operation into the ground.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
It's not going to be hard for someone who's in, like, if you live in DC and want to get action down, it's not difficult to get outside the city to do that. You know, yeah. And if you're already, you know, if you don't live in DC, there's no reason to go in to make those bets. Right. So, if you're someone who wants to, watch a game and have action on it, if you're that kind of sports fan, I recommend watching DC United at Audi Field. Audi Field's probably, Nats fans don't hate me, but I think Audi Field's probably the most beautiful, stadium or arena that we have in this area. But one A is Nationals Park, where the Nationals play, another beautiful park. And the sneaky valuable play here, though, if you want to watch a sporting event, possibly have action on it, is to actually watch Georgetown basketball, because they play at Capital One Arena. So you're not going like some small college arena, you're actually going to Capital One Arena to watch those games. So,
nice.
Yeah. And if you're just looking out for a night out of town, if you want to sit down and watch some sports, I actually don't even have a place to recommend, because DC is a drinking town with a politics problem. There are plenty of places to sit down and watch a beer, and I think one that isn't crowded would be my recommendation. Adams Morgan is a younger neighborhood, DuPont Circle sort of as well, kind of it's a little more pretentious, but Foggy Bottom, anywhere in Northwest DC or downtown, I think are good candidates. And if you're into beer, I recommend Port City, which is in Alexandria, Aslan, which is in Alexandria, and then Wright Proper and DC Brow, both in DC proper. So those are some of my You write those down, Adam. I know.
I did. I've been taking very diligent notes over here about all your beer recommendations.
Yeah. DC's let me get a little bit into the touristy part here, if I may.
Please indulge me, because I'm a history fan. I really enjoyed my time in DC. We did mostly like the touristy stuff. My dad used to work at the Gaylord National Harbor. He had a security there, so it was I've been to DC a couple times, but I was a bit younger. I mean, I was in like really younger 20s, and so it was a lot of kind of more touristy stuff. And then we went to a few random bars that I couldn't even remember the names of. So
that's fine. I've been to plenty of bars around DC where I don't remember the nights that I had in them.
Right.
There's a brewery inside in DC in Southeast DC called Blue Jacket, and they have a beer called Lost Weekend. And my wife makes fun of me all the time because she knows I've lost a few weekends drinking at Blue Jacket. So, and that's really close to National Harbor. That's a nice little parlay. Look, if National Stadium gets a sports book in it, that's a crazy good night. Especially if you can get away with it during the week and it's a little less populated, go to a Nats game, get some action down on it. And then when you're done, walk just a few blocks away over to Blue Jacket Brewery and enjoy some really great craft beer. Okay. Yeah. No one's coming to DC to gamble though, right? Like this isn't a gambling destination, obviously. But those are your options. If you come to the DC area, that's how you get some action down, because we're all degenerates. This whole concept of travel better was born out of the idea that as gamblers, when you go somewhere, you look, is there a casino in the area?
Yeah,
right. You always check. But when you're in an area, you're going to do other stuff, right? Especially a place packed full of history and things to do like Washington, D.C. There's plenty of war memorials, like we talked about. Of course, many of them on the National Mall, others in a couple of the different parts of the city. We mentioned the Korean War Memorial, I think. If you have the time, just start at the Lincoln Memorial and just walk down the National Mall. And if you can make it all the way to Capitol Hill, great. Even if you only make it to like the Washington Monument, you still see a lot of cool stuff. But that's it's one of those things. I would recommend people walking the National Mall before I recommend people walking the Las Vegas Strip, right? Based off of like the efficiency of travel and like the things you actually get to see, right?
So can I tell a quick story really quick about the Lincoln Memorial when I was there?
Of course.
So we went to the Lincoln Memorial, stunning, beautiful. I mean, an incredible place to be. We're walking down the stairs, of course, just the storied history of MLK and everything. And we're standing there and this little kid goes, "Oh my God." He was very young. This was a number of years ago. He goes, "This is where Ben Stiller once stood." And he's talking about the movie A Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's literally standing on like the little, they've got like it's not like a placard or anything, but it just says that this is where MLK was standing, whatever. And he's just like so enamored that he's standing where Ben Stiller once stood. And that stuck with me. I can't find like anything. And now like I always go to like a place and see this amazing, artifact or whatever. And I try to think of some other person who was standing here besides any historical significance. And that kid has said the funniest thing that I've ever heard. So
use the restroom before you go to the National Mall. As quickly before you get to the National Mall, try to use it, because it is difficult to find a restroom on the mall, especially if you don't already know where they are. You mentioned places that gave you chills. Red Square in Moscow is specifically the first time I was there and saw St. Basil's, right? When I was there and saw that was that's right up there. Machu Picchu is probably also the other time where I was like, holy shit.
That's because you finally made it there, right? We talked about this last time. Same time Machu Picchu's made an appearance. Yeah.
It's only one of the modern wonders of the world. Go to Arlington National Cemetery, and I'm not biased because I used to work there. It is look, there's no greater representation of America and its values, no matter where you are on the spectrum, in my opinion, than Arlington National Cemetery. And one of my favorite things about it is it doesn't matter what you believe about America, but everybody gets an opportunity. Everybody has the confidence that the people buried, those buried at Arlington, did so for their America. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. it's in my opinion, it that's one of the cool things about Arlington. And I'm not going to go. I could sit here and tell you all the places and things. If you're ever going to go to DC and you know you're going to go to Arlington National Cemetery, please ping me and I will tell you all the cool things you should go see at Arlington, including Medal of Honor recipients and a number of Medgar Evers is there, civil rights activist. There's a lot of cool people buried at Arlington.
There's like, I mean, from a like an outsider's perspective, like there's very few places I can think of in America where it's like, whenever you go there, there's this kind of reverence and respect for the grounds and the process and the history of the place. It's, I mean, we're still a very young country, so it's kind of hard to see that in certain places, or it's just not present in a lot of places. But that's like, I could just remember like having just this ultimate respect, just anyone who was visiting, everyone who worked there, like there was just, like I said, this overwhelming reverence for, you know, where we were and kind of the process that goes into just running it day to day and the history of it. It's a really, really unique place. But I mean, I don't have to tell you. But
QAnon, who I'm sure many people have at least heard of, QAnon believes that there is a secret base underneath Arlington National Cemetery, and that the photos that I used to share on Arlington's Twitter account, they were convinced that those were signals to other government officials sending information. I shit you not. I saw enough responses to my tweets to know that a lot of people who follow QAnon believe those things. Oh, so some sneaky good things to do in DC go to the American History Museum to go see Old Glory, but you don't need to stick around for, unless you're a huge history buff, you don't need to stick around for everything. Go in there, find out where Old Glory is, and I mean, it's amazing. Like wherever you are on the patriotic scale, it'll make you feel a little patriotic when you walk through and see Old Glory. Go to the archives and see our founding documents. I think that's super, super fun. The National Gallery of Art is really cool. If you even have the smallest interest in art, the NG is a great place to go to experience that. I didn't think to write them down, but there's also a lot of other smaller independent collections around DC. If you're into art, has things like that. So and then the Arboretum is really cool. One meal that I will recommend is Old Ebbitt Grill. It is a block away from the White House. Like you walk in there and you're like, you know what, I can tell some shady congressional shit went down in here. Like, it's that kind of joint. You can just kind of tell, like, some deals were made here. It's pretty cool. So I recommend getting a meal at Old Ebbitt Grill. I recommend going to the White House. I've been to the White House. The way you get a tour at the White House is requesting it through your congressional representative. So you usually just go to their website. You can find something on there on White House tours. Don't request a White House tour around graduation time, around the cherry blossom time. In the summer is still kind of like if you're in a big district, I recommend trying to get the tour with somebody else who, like, if you're traveling with a few people, have the person who's in the smallest district or the less likely to be traveling to DC to be the ones to request it. So when my parents came to, I live right, like, I can't imagine how many requests Don Beyer gets for White House visits. But when my parents visited, I was like, "You guys request it," because, and sure enough, I toured based off of their request. So, yes. And if you're on the GW Parkway, here's my last bit of advice in Washington D.C. If you are on the GW Parkway, and I'm saying this because I've heard of tourists making this mistake. The GW Parkway kind of splits D.C. and Virginia, as you're going north on the GW Parkway, you'll see a sign for the George H.W. Bush Center of Intelligence.
That sounds like a made up name. That sounds like a name I would make if someone asked me to name a building after myself.
The George H.W. Bush Central Intelligence Agency, right? It's the CIA. That's what I'm talking about.
We used to, like, the Center of Intelligence. It was like the Adam Bauer Center for Smart Things and Fun Stuff.
Well, I couldn't remember if it actually was called, if it was just if it was just branded Center of Intelligence or if it was a central intelligence agency on the sign. Like, obviously, now I know what the organization's called. But anyways, if you see that sign, that is not an invitation for people who don't work there to go visit it.
Right. They love stop, like, yes, drive-thrus and waves.
Yeah. That the NSA, so if you're going up the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, and I'm not going to tell you where the DIA is if you don't already know, but if you see signs for these installations, there's no tourist activity there. Don't pull, like, I'm
sorry, no NSA tour. Be like, hey, can I get my phone records from 2 years ago, please?
Exactly. And I'm only bringing it up because people have done it, and it's always funny to hear those stories of people with guns drawn on them because they thought they could visit the NSA. Okay, did I miss anything from any one of these angles of gambling, sports betting, being a tourist, grabbing a drink? Tell me if I've missed something here so I can fill in the gap. Otherwise, I think we can tie this off. Yeah.
Well, two things, like, where, if I'm going to DC, where's the best place to, like, stay? Like, where am I even looking, like, in terms of, like, hotels? I mean, I know Gaylord National Harbor, but it's very expensive, and I only, because I had family work there, but.
So MGM National Harbor is going to be expensive, right? I think they send me, they're like, come stay at MGM National Harbor. I'm like, live 10 minutes down the road, bro. Like, I don't need a staycation at your expensive ass hotel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Gaylord's right there. Where to stay? I would recommend either staying inside the district the proper DC, or in Alexandria, as close to Old Town Alexandria as you can, because Old Town Alexandria is very walkable. It's a cute little quaint area.
Yeah.
Other things to do there. So I recommend that. I mean, spend, you know, the W is a really cool hotel. Georgetown's expensive, but that's another place that's really cool to walk around. There's things to do there. I recommend either being in downtown or in Northwest DC. If you go into the other quadrants of DC, there's a little less to do, or it's a little more complicated to get there. The DC Metro, locals complain about it. I think it's fine if you're a tourist. If you're a commuter, you recognize every extra minute they add to your commute, but as a tourist, isn't it funny how, I don't know how you feel about this, but, like, all I hear is like Boston people, like, complaining about the T, and then, like, I get there and I'm like, this thing is so efficient. Like, I'm having no issues. Right. Like, and I go to Chicago and, like, I hear complaints about the L, and I'm like, I'm getting everywhere just fine. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
And I think it's because we're not grinding every minute on, like when you're five, like when it takes you 10 more minutes to get home than it usually does, like, it just eats at you, doesn't it? Like, the commute was horrible.
Right. And then you go to Vegas, you're like, where the hell's the public transportation at?
Oh my God.
Yeah, we forgot.
How is that city still so far behind on efficient public transportation?
But Detroit's very similar in that regard as well, unfortunately. Yeah, from getting the suburb. I mean, it was a motor city, so it was like, they're like, we don't need an efficient system to get people from the suburbs to the city that doesn't involve a car.
Yeah. I mean, it even blows my mind that, like, the monorails are even, like, that's their best effort.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's behind everything. They're, like, embarrassed by it. They're like, we have this thing. It runs once every 10 hours, we think.
Yeah. I will say, outside of rush hour, the bus was fine. Like, I took the Deuce from the strip to downtown, and it was fine. And early in the morning, especially, it was kind of cool to actually sit upper level on the Deuce and watch sort of Las Vegas start to brighten up with the sun and kind of, you know, So that's the one nice thing I liked about
Poker. So final thing about DC is, say I'm going for, like, a long weekend or a few days, whatever. I mean, I'm assuming renting a car is, like, a must if I'm coming in from out of town. Is that true? I mean, is that just an assumption I'm making?
No. So, depending on what you're, so if you're coming into DC if you're coming into DC and you're staying in DC, you're doing things that are mostly in DC, rideshare is very good around here. It's cool. Really popular. We have a pretty efficient metro system, and it's a very walkable city. I mean, you can walk from parts of Northwest to parts of Southeast in like an hour and a half, right? It's not, and that's not far, right? When you think about walking across the city, That's not very far, and that's, and you're crossing over multiple neighborhoods and things to do, right?
Right.
You're seeing a lot of different neighborhoods and stuff like that. So, yeah. So I would recommend staying inside the city. If you want to gamble, though, you're gonna need a car.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't. You could technically Uber from DC to MGM. I would not recommend Ubering to any other casinos that I brought up. MGM is probably the only one that you can really do that with. But it's just far enough, I think, that if your hotel's gonna, if you can park your car for relatively cheap, if you rent one, it's just worth renting a car if you're gonna go down to MGM.
Cool.
Thanks, Adam. I didn't think to see. This is why I bring you. This is why.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a wealth of knowledge, especially about my home city.
Yeah. okay. So we had a good run. Two episodes of Travel
relegated
Better.
To like a place where you and I have combined like 18 followers. So I really don't know how to feel about this.
Well. I mean, I'm explaining a little bit more of my monologue, and I'll let you hear about it then. I got ahead of myself on the idea, and maybe a travel focused episode when the two people aren't traveling much in a time where it's difficult to travel overall.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been a little ambitious.
So let me ask another question then. Are you still doing the series with Mark Duvall regularly?
Yes.
Okay. Then I quit everything.
but this decision is not based on feedback. I'll tell you that. That is a content creator realizing the challenges of the content early on.
Sure. Yes. I'm just saying that you've never cut something with Mark Duvall or your good friend, Gil Alexander. That's all I'm saying. I'm just putting that out there. So I'm going to tell this to my QAnon friends and we're going to.
Let me finish.
Okay.
This point. You and I, when the opportunities are, so instead of trying to do something routine and in the podcast feed, we're going to do something more ad hoc over Instagram Live. Yes, maybe our followers are not as much as well as the podcast following.
Yeah, I get it.
But the reason why I am pivoting to a different platform versus just letting this drop off altogether is the feedback that I got was that people enjoyed our conversations together. People liked hearing us have these conversations.
Yes.
So
they enjoyed it so much that you want to put it on a platform that has far less people on it. I get it. So that's fine, Tim.
Tell you what, we can continue doing this. How about this? We'll do these segments and you just put it in your feed. So that way your subscribers finally have something to listen to.
I don't know what feed you're talking about, but okay.
Do you even have that feed open? Or are you still paying for the monthly?
Yeah, my accountant's like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. Just deal with it.
Oh, man. How about us just taking shots at each other at the end of this? Like, oh, yeah, and by the way, fuck you.
I feel like we're just taking shots at me, but that's fine. I mean, I can handle it. I've been fired before. It's not a big deal, but it was in college.
Oh, man. All right, Adam, this has been fun. These two episodes we've done, and I look forward to
it. What a run. Yeah.
what a run. But we'll do this again on another platform where less people will view.
Yeah, I can't wait. And neither can all 18 of those people.
So another prop bet that I have in tonight's game is Jerron McKinnon no touchdown. Because I figured that the 49ers may not have a whole lot of opportunities inside the 10-yard line. And here we are, end of the first quarter. 49ers are lining up. And fortunately, I had Davante Adams plus 500 first touchdown in that cash. So I have some buffer to – I can lose a couple props here and still come out ahead on this game. But as I'm sitting here recording my monologue, I'm watching to see if Jerron McKinnon's going to spoil my no TD player prop. Okay. Thank you, Adam, for joining me for two episodes of Travel Better. I look forward to developing this concept in different ways moving down the road. But as for a regularly occurring episode in this feed, that was it. Hope you enjoyed some of it. The Better Sansa. Did it last year. People really liked it. Going to do it again this year. It is on the website, thebetterlife.us/merch. It's right there in the store. It's $25 and plus shipping and whatever that is based on your location. Like last year, once I close sales, or maybe even probably before that. So this will be up for a couple weeks. Sorry, I'm a little scatterbrained because I'm still trying to kind of figure out the details on this. But this will be up for a couple weeks, at least through Thanksgiving. Okay, so you have at least through Thanksgiving to buy this. And I will definitely telegraph when I'm planning on pulling it down. So if anyone wants to take it. But what it is I will send you a handful of items wrapped. You can open them when you get them. Look, I don't care when you open them. Not your cousin who's like, you cannot open this till Christmas. You can put underneath the Christmas tree and open this with your family. You can open it when you get it. It's up to you. But the items come wrapped, Christmas paper and all, for a few gambling related items. For you to enjoy Christmas. It was kind of fun to do last year. Items included in last year's box were some glassware from MGM National Harbor, some older chips from Vegas, a craps puck. I think I even had a drinking roulette game that I threw in a few boxes, some t-shirts and stuff like that. I had a lot. I'm gonna do some more specific items this time. I'm not going to give it away, but I have a better idea after doing it last year. I have a better idea of what I want to do this year, so I'm looking forward to it. And if you have questions about it, you can message me, but it's pretty straightforward. You pay $25, I'm gonna send you a box of wrapped items that are gambling related for you to open for Christmas, or you know, for the holidays, if we're I want to be inclusive here. Okay, so this is so that's it. I hope everybody's doing well. Take some time for some self-care. It's been a stressful week for everybody. I hope everybody is staying safe. I hope everybody is healthy. And I will slowly start revealing a little bit more about my Vegas trip in the coming weeks as I get closer and even more confident that I'm actually going to take that trip. It's going to be a low contact trip, so I'm not going to do some like meet and greet or meet up or anything like that. If I end up spending time with people, it'll be one-on-one situations, but more information on that to come. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. It really does mean a lot to me. On behalf of Adam Bauer, good night and good luck.